Streaming audio is made possible by Hungry Harvest, delivering farm-fresh produce and grocery staples to your door. Every delivery allows you to support local donations that fight hunger in the community. Learn more at hungryharvest.net.
Hi, this is Alex Zavistovich, founder of the National Edgar Allan Poe Theater. To celebrate a year's worth of Poe Theater on the Air episodes under our belt, we have a special surprise for our loyal listeners. We're taking a break from the exploits of Dr. Mallard and his children, but don't worry, we'll be back with more from the doctor and the guests in his asylum after we've had a bit of time to regroup and re-energize. In the meantime, we're lucky enough to be able to bring you Edgar Allan, an excellent work from our very good friends Katie Hartman and Nick Ryan, otherwise known as the Cold Hearts. I'm sure you'll love this two-part reimagining of the childhood days of Edgar Allan Poe, combined with an adaptation of his story, William Wilson. Now, please sit back, relax, and enjoy this very special two-part production of Edgar Allan. It's time. You're listening to the National Edgar Allan Poe Theater on the Air. Sponsored in part by Baltimore's own Raven Beer, this ongoing series brings to your ears the best-known works from America's revered grandfather of horror and suspense. In this episode, the National Edgar Allan Poe Theater is proud to present part two of our special guest production, Edgar Allan, created and performed by the touring theater company The Cold Hearts. Edgar Allan is a reimagining of the early days of the life of Edgar Allan Poe and an adaptation of the classic Poe short story, William Wilson. Last time, we followed Poe from his first meeting with his schoolyard nemesis to the pair's decision to create a proper secret society.
We cannot be inducted into a secret avian society in the middle of the mess hall! A proper secret society deserves a proper secret location.
I know a place.
Where?
Oh no, it's off school grounds.
And now, Poe Theater on the Air presents part two of the Cold Hearts production of Edgar Allan.
Everything fun is a little bit dangerous.
Well, this would be a lot dangerous.
And everything dangerous is a little bit fun.
But we could get in trouble.
It's not trouble unless you get injured.
Ow, that hurt.
It's not messy until you're covered in dirt.
None of this sounds fun, Edgar.
Oh, it's not fun unless it is naughty.
Naughty?
It's not naughty until you get caught.
So are we trying to get caught?
Your heart's not racing until you're being followed. It's not a chase until you
way.
Behind the foliage of a thousand forest trees, amidst the glories of a million fragrant flowers, far away among a range of giant hills, we roam together in the valley of the many-colored grass.
I call to order the first roost of the Hallowed Order of Avies. Step forward to receive thy rank and title. With the blessings of all things, feathered, winged, bipedal, egg-laying, and endothermic, I dub thee Noctua Titonide, Night Owl of the North. Now pledge thy call.
Hoot, hoot, hoot. Now you step forward to receive your rank and title. By the blessings of all things winged, feathered, bipedal, egg-laying, and endothermic, I dub thee Corvus Corvidae, the Conquering Crow. Now pledge thy call. Commence the roost. What do we do at the roost?
We perch and exchange information in our native tongue.
Oh.
Caw! Caw! Caw!
Hoot! Hoot!
Caw!
Hoot!
Caw!
Hoot!
Caw!
Hoot!
Caw!
Hoot!
Caw!
Hoot!
Caw!
Caw!
Caw! Caw!
If we were in the southern hemisphere, we'd be able to see ourselves in the stars.
What?
The constellations. Corvus and Noctua. The Night Owl and the Crow, immortalized in the night sky, riding upon Hydra. But we're too far north to see them. Robinson Crusoe would have been able to see them from his island.
The Isle of Despair.
You've read Robinson Crusoe?
It is my favorite book!
It is my favorite book. En garde, cannibal!
How is it that we've been friends for 10 days and we have not yet discussed the staggering genius that is Robinson Crusoe? What other secrets do you hold? If we were to have a true secret society, we must uphold more than an oath. A true secret society guards secrets. It's the only way our fates can be forever entwined. We must reveal to one another our deepest, darkest secret. The one aspect of yourself that you share with no one.
All right.
Well?
I'm thinking.
This is the secret that is poised always on the tip of your tongue.
Just a moment.
The secret that manifests in your bleakest nightmares. From the blackest recesses of your soul. The secret that consumes your every waking thought.
Perhaps you should go first.
I am not the son of John and Francis Allen. I am but their ward. The orphan of two penniless actors!
I don't care that you're an orphan, Corvus. I don't even care that your parents were actors. I'm sure they excelled at their craft.
My mother was beloved. My father was terrible. They voted him the second worst actor on the eastern seaboard. He abandoned us after my sister was born.
Well, I'm sure your foster parents love you very much.
They won't adopt me.
I'm sorry.
And you? What is your secret?
Once, I was playing by a lake when I came face to face with a water snake. It startled me. It frightened me. I thought the snake should not live. So I picked up a rock, and I threw it. And then another, and another, and another, until I hit the snake, breaking its spine. I no longer wanted to kill the snake, but I knew then that I must. So I picked up a large flat stone, and I brought it down hard. And the snake no longer moved.
That is your secret?
I've never told anyone before. It feels good to talk about it.
I just unburden my soul, and all that you offer in return is a dead snake?
Well, it's all I could think of.
What kind of a fool do you take me for?
I don't take you for a fool.
Killing snakes is nothing to be ashamed of. People pay to have snakes killed.
Corvus, I'm sorry.
No one as stupid and as dull as you deserves the name Noctua. Renounce it.
Corvus, I don't think you know what you're saying.
Renounce it!
No.
Renounce it! Why is the night so dark? Why are the stars so dim? Why is my mind so hot? Why did I tell him? Why did I tell him? What have I inherited and what am I worth? Why did I tell him of my common birth? What are my options? What can I do? My reputation ruined by rumors that are all too and what I feel the most, and what I fear the most, and what I see the most, and what I...
I step through the dark oak doors to find the hierarchy of the classroom already established. It is a simple matter now. Topple the carrion perched at the apex, and watch the flock fall into formation. My rival is my equal in academic pursuits, but dominates others through physical feats, barbed verbosity, and wanton acts of violence. His aggressive tactics leave numerous holes in his defenses. The crow approaches me at recess. Corvus, sorry about last night. I didn't mean to upset you.
It was not my intention to hurt you. I lost my temper.
Oh, it's all right.
I hope you can accept my apology.
Of course I accept. I hope you can accept my apology.
Please, let me make a proper amends. As a gentleman.
All right.
Not now. After lights out.
Where?
I'll meet you at your chamber.
My chamber?
Tonight.
Tonight.
I seek to gain ascendancy, most wicked form of tyranny, a despot in pre-puberty, a boundless spout of cruelty. is a little bit cruel. Now I must do what I know I should not. It's not a crime until you get caught.
Well, this is my room.
Share a drink with me?
But we have Latin in the morning.
Just one drink. I owe you that. To you, Noctua.
To you, Corvus.
One drink becomes two. Two drinks become three. My rival, he could not hold his courage as well as I. With the flask finished, he begins to fade from this world. Now my work begins.
Behind the foliage of a thousand forest trees, amidst the glories of a million fragrant flowers, far away, among a range of giant hills, we roamed together in the valley of the many-colored grass. Winding stealthily about in mazy courses, dazzling rivulets glide through a shadowy gorge. Exceeding beauty spoke to our hearts in loud tones. We roamed together in the valley of the many-colored grass. And here and there in groves about this grass, like wildernesses of dreams, sprang up fantastic trees, whose tall, slender stems stood not upright, but slanted gracefully toward the light. And strange and brilliant star-shaped flowers burst upon the trees where no flowers had been known. A murmur swelled to melody, the last sad change fell on all things, and then our love it was no more. No more. And now I find myself awakened from my slumber by the press of lips cold as a mountain stream. But when I reach out, my friend, I cannot find you. No more together in the valley of the many-colored grass.
His room stands alone at the end of an irregular hallway of innumerable turns. No one has any reason to go there. And even if they did, they would never hear my rival's cry, barely louder than a whisper.
You've been listening to the National Edgar Allan Poe Theater on the Air and our special two-part guest production of Edgar Allan, created and performed by Katie Hartman and Nick Ryan of the Cold Hearts, a touring theater company. Edgar Allan was recorded and mixed by Stanton Nash and mastered by Steve Corral. More information on the Edgar Allan play can be found at www.thecoldhearts.com. Poe Theater on the Air technical director is Ty Ford. Poe Theater on the Air theme by Greg Martin. The National Edgar Allan Poe Theater on the Air is sponsored in part by Baltimore's own Raven Beer, purveyors of Poe-inspired craft beer. More information can be found on the web at www.ravenbeer.com. More information on the National Edgar Allan Poe Theater on the Air can be found at www.poetheater.org. Until next time, this is Alex Zavistovich reminding you that all that we see or seem is but a dream within a dream.